It is exciting to be here this morning. As Glenn said, this is the seventh one in Lancaster County, eighth from the beginning of Encourage Men. And it's been a blessing to me and hopefully to many other people. It's exciting because I end up seeing, I know the change that happened in my life through Encourage Men, listening and embracing teaching that was effective for me, that I needed. Some of you are acquainted with teaching, and all I can say is the teacher usually benefits the most because he does the most, has the most input, and gets the most out of it. Thank you for coming. It's a joy, it's a blessing to have you here, and tell others about it. I'm excited about this year. We want to talk about laying the foundations. Our theme is Kingdom-Focused Fathers, and it's about encouraged men. And our goal this year is that you may be encouraged. It's exciting to me because I believe that when I look at the lineup of lessons that are going to be taught this year, there is going to be some truth and information that I believe will change our lives. So as men, let's step up to the plate and be those men that God has called us to. Foundations. What are the foundations? Well, there's marriage, and marriage is the first institution that God designed. He put man and woman together, and he created marriage. And I think we all recognize that everything, every building that you, your house that you live in, every building, there's a foundation to it. And if the foundation is not healthy, now we have problems. Well, marriage really is the foundation of all those institutions above it. And I don't know if you see your role or not, or how important you see your role. But it's huge, men. Because right here, what does it take for marriage? It's man and it's woman. And all I can tell you, if some of you have heard this before, but for years, I spent my life, my married life, saying if only Grace would be the woman she ought to be, I could be the man that I ought to be. That's a lie. God has called us men to be men, the men that he has called us to be, regardless of what our wives are like. I could have pointed out to you why all the problems in our relationship was her fault. I could have given you all the reasons. But what changed my life was when I started looking at myself. Men, let's look at ourselves this morning. God has a call on our life. You see, the foundation of all those things, and how many of us have complained about the things above us? Our wives, our marriage, family, blame. A wise man listens to light and responds to it. He changes his life to the light. A fool looks at the light when the light comes and he adjusts the light. And the problems, he doesn't look at himself and say, I must change. He says, it's out there. The problems are out there. Men, let's look at ourselves. My marriage started changing when this guy started changing. Did that mean my wife's problems went away? No, but I had them too. And God has placed on man the responsibility. Let's look at it. Well, let's go back, because when we look at all those things, we can complain about church, we can complain about the communities, and we can complain about our nation. But men, what role do you see as your position in all this? I know you say, well, it's too huge. Our world's heading downhill fast. And what is one man going to do? One man is going to do a lot. How many men do we have here this morning? A lot. You know what? When we change, when we become the men God has called us to be, it changes our marriages, it changes our families, and that starts a ripple effect, and it changes our church, it changes our communities. God has called us to be the foundation for all those other institutions above us. Men, we can and we do make a difference. God assigned to man roles, and this is part of the earlier teachings in Encourage Men where we look at Genesis and manhood. God assigned man roles and responsibilities before woman was ever created. Then the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. God gave him the responsibility over working and tilling the ground and subduing it and making it work for him. That was his responsibility that God gave him. God assigned man with the responsibility of leading with his word. Man, that's so important for us to see that. I could be a leader at work. I could be a man at work, but I could be a wimp at home. I struggled leading at home. Why? Because my wife wasn't really interested in being led. What was that chuckle about? My wife was the oldest of six children. And she was raised on a dairy farm, and her parents, when she was around 15 or 16, went to Florida and left her in charge of the farm. I was a spoiled mama's boy. And we got married, and she knew how to be in charge, and I knew how to let her be in charge. That doesn't work, man. That does not work. God had called me to be the head of our home and the leader of our home. But you know what? I wimped out. At work, I could run Eblings. I could do what needed to be done at work, but at home I couldn't. I had to learn how. Men, I want to let's call each other up. Let's let the truth change us. Let's become the men. And I'm excited about this year because we also have a wives' night coming up. Glenn will talk about that a little bit later, where it's finding delight in the journey of marriage for our wives. I'd encourage you to encourage your wives to be there. Maybe it's your turn to babysit that night. Okay. God assigned man with the responsibility of leading with his word. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden, this is before Eve was ever created, you may freely eat, but from the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day you eat of it, you will surely die. Where was man when woman was tempted? I used to think he was out walking around in the garden somewhere. But that's not what the Bible says. She took some and ate and gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Before woman was ever created, God had told him, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree in the garden you may freely eat, but from the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. So God had told man there, not Eve, and he had told Eve, so she related that to the devil. But she gave in. That's why the New Testament says that Eve was tempted and she was deceived. Eve was deceived. Adam wasn't deceived. Adam disobeyed. Men, Adam disobeyed. Eve was deceived. God calls us men to lead with his word. He still does. We need to know what the word says. Men, we need to be men of the word. We need to be in the word. I find that hard work. I don't find that easy. It's so easy to get up in the morning, grab your coffee and a bite to eat, and run off to work. What's priority in your life? If God asks you to lead with your word, will you be in the word so you can lead with the word and ask him for wisdom from the word? After man arrived, man was assigned new roles and responsibilities. He was assigned a role of husband. He was assigned a role of father, and that's what our focus is going to be this year. This year's Encourage Men theme will focus on fathers and men. Men, we are the basic building block for our families. Grace and I were just blessed to spend a little over 2 weeks traveling out west. We got home Sunday night, and I thought we needed a break. We needed a break. We deal with a lot of hurting people and difficult situations, and it felt so good to get away. It felt good to be staying in a mountain cabin out in the middle of the Rockies, and there weren't any problems around, or were there? You know what's so fascinating? We spent some time with two other couples, two other church leaders, and boy, did I ever hear heartache and pain. Everywhere you go, there's heartache and pain. Do you know where the root was? Men. Okay, the root is men. You say, you don't know my wife. Yeah, I probably do. I don't know your wife, but she's probably not a whole lot different than most women. And yeah, they have their hurts and problems. But men, we are the foundational building block for our families, for our marriage, for our families, for future, for our church, for our communities. We are. And we must see ourselves as the foundational building block. And when we fail, everything else crumbles. So while we were gone, we hurt a lot of hurt and pain. It doesn't matter where you are in this big United States or this big world, there's still a lot of hurt, a lot of heartache. You can't get away from it because, man, it is foundational. We need to be responsible. And I just saw broken homes, broken families all the way across, people who were raised to know better, and there was divorce, there was sexual abuse, there was heartache and hurt. Some unbelievable things that I could share with you that I heard while I was on that trip. Men, it's us. How you feel your God-given role as a man, as a father, will influence generations after you for better or for worse. That's the truth. That's the truth. So I have a question for you. How are you making choices and decisions in life? How are you making those choices? How am I making those choices? Are your choices powered by hurt and anger and hopelessness and bitterness? I see a lot of men making choices out of that. And every one of us has hurt. There isn't a single person here that doesn't have pain. There isn't a single one of us here that hasn't been wounded in one way or another. So, are you going to make choices out of that? Men, I would like to share with you that I had a lot of hurt and a lot of pain and a lot of frustration, and I was making my choices out of that. Or are you going to make your choices out of vision and desire for something better? Out of that hurt and pain in our marriage and in our family, in our home, it put me on a pursuit of a journey. I wanted answers. I wanted answers. And so you have to want answers. And this is sort of my journey. You have to want answers. You have to want truth. You have to pursue truth. And you have to embrace truth. And you have to live truth. Other than that, it's not going to change. You can stop anywhere up there without living truth. Or, you know, once you start embracing truth, you will start living it. But you can want answers. I see lots of people wanting answers. I see a lot of people wanting truth. I even see people pursuing truth, but then they stop. They don't embrace truth, and then they don't live truth. And nothing changes. Men, some of you are still saying, it's my wife's fault. All I can tell you is God told man that he is to wash his wife with the water of the word. Brothers, that doesn't mean with a scrub brush. It means gentle, caring, loving leadership. And that's the journey I've been on. Because she still needs that, even after years. Sometimes firmness, yes, but not with a scrub brush. There's two categories of trauma. Those that are harmful by their presence and those that are harmful by their absence. Now, there's a handout that you have, and there's nothing on there that you really need to look at. But I would encourage you, my brother put that together. He didn't put it together for this. It was in part, and he has a blog site, Frank. He's going to be here next week, Lord willing. But I really liked what he had to say about those handouts. So if you didn't get one, you know, there's plenty here. But I would like you to go over that because it's absolutely powerful. But we did put on there, I put on that little box of the two types of trauma. What we want to look at this morning, we recognize the harmful ones. Physical abuse, excessive discipline. Some of you have dealt with that from your home life. There's been sexual abuse. Some of you have experienced that. Some of you have participated in that. There's abandonment. There's verbal abuse. And then you can be wounded by observing abuse. I've seen just about all of this in dealing with hurting people. But then there's harmful by absence, and perhaps that's a focus that we would like to look at this morning and also in the near future here. Harmful by absence, and that is on your handout. Not experiencing unconditional love, not knowing the joy of being a delight. This is crucial. It's crucial. Every child should see their daddy's eyes light up when that child comes into their presence. In the morning when your children get up, if you're around, or maybe you go off to work before they get up, but when you are around, when you come home from work and your child comes running, You know, you have a choice. You can speak volumes with your eyes. Eyes speak volumes. And if you see your child coming and your eyes light up, I try to intentionally, I wish I would have done this more when my children were smaller, so I share it with you, but I do it with my grandchildren now. When they come running, my eyes light up. Every child needs to know that it's a delight to somebody, and why shouldn't it be dad? That's how dads communicate volumes to their children. Their eyes light up. Do you ever meet somebody, and well, even this morning, people come in, you say, hi, how are you? And your eyes light up. Do you do that with your children? Or do you go, oh, well, I'm home. It's kids. Huh? Your eyes need to light up. You can choose to do that. What do you do when you see your wife? Oh, well, hey, we've been married 20 years. I've been married. Last week, it was 45 years. I'm looking forward to the next 45. Okay, but when I see my wife in the morning, I want her to see my eyes light up when I see her. Do I always feel like it? No. But I have a choice to make. You have a choice to make. Your eyes need to light up. Not when that's not there, it's damaging. It is a trauma. It's harmful by absence. Not having a father take time to understand, to listen, and to care. Do you know your children are full of hurts? I deal with hurting people, and when they come, you know, they say, I didn't have anybody to talk to. Dad needs to be there. Your children should be able to come to you and talk to you about anything. I could go on with story after story. Not receiving appropriate non-sexual affection. Men, you need to be in charge of your sexuality. And your children need appropriate non-sexual affection. So does your wife. If the only time she gets physical affection from you is when you want sex, you're hurting her. You're damaging her. She needs non-sexual affection, but your children do too. What does the scripture say when Paul says, be kindly affectionate one to another? Brothers and sisters at church, you know, we need to be kindly affectionate to each other as brothers. A hug, a warm handshake, eyes lighting up. We need to do that with our children. Our children desperately need that. Appropriate non-sexual affection. Wrestle with your boys. Hold your girls. Hug them. Okay. A dad is where they get their concept of who they are as men, who they are as women. They will grow up seeing manhood and womanhood from the way dad treats them, not mom. Mom can influence it too, but dad is the primary source of who they are as a man and who they are as a woman as they grow up. That's truth. Not receiving adequate food, clothing, shelter, medical care, that's pretty well given, but it's your responsibility to see your children have food, clothing, shelter, and medical care. I know it's expensive, but it's your responsibility. Not being taught how to do the hard things. This is a big one. You know, we most of us grew up years ago on the farm. I see a lot of our people now growing up in developments. Did you know, men, it is still your responsibility to see that your children have tasks to do? Yes, your wife has to help with that because she's going to be around when they're smaller. But boy, when your boys grow up, I had a dad tell me recently, he says, I don't know what to do with my boys. They live in a development. He says, so they go to their room with their electronics. Ah, that does not work. You're gonna raise boys who don't know how to be men. It is your responsibility to see that your children have tasks to do. Whether you at church, you interact, you find somebody where those children can be working and do something appropriate. And if it has to be at home, you find tasks for them to do. Those children have energy. They have thoughts. And if you're not going to fill them with healthy and good things, I can promise you Satan has plenty for them to do. Especially if you give them electronics. We're being raised in a digital and electronic age. And so they have to learn some of that. But if you're using that as entertainment, you're allowing that as entertainment, you are creating a problem for the future that's going to affect their families and their communities and their church. It is our responsibility, men. Not given the opportunity to develop personal resources and talents. We were in an awesome home coming home. I was so blessed because there were two young men who are out of school getting some other training right now for jobs, and a young gal still in school. But there we were sitting around visiting, and those children stayed around the table till late. And I saw a maturity in them. I saw parents who invested in their future, and I saw parents who had captured their hearts. Wow. It was such a blessing, because I was also in some homes where it was totally absent. Building blocks to build life on. This is our lesson for this morning. We'll try and go through it here reasonably. But there's building blocks to build life on. And here is where you fill in the gaps of those missing links that are listed in your handout there. Building blocks to build life on that produce security, freedom, strength, courage. It's not in your handout. So, yeah, we're going to be revisiting this, and there will be handouts. We're going to visit this down the road a bit. But this is just this morning. You can just listen. If you want to scribble some notes, great. But here's what they are. It bounces off of Jesus' words. Now, some of you were at the couples night last year, and when we talked about this and presented some of this, but we're going to revisit it. This is my beloved son. I'm well pleased with him. Hear him. Your handout is that Frank put together. It bounces off of this as well. That this is what a child needs to hear from his father. Jesus was going to go through some terrible things here on earth. He was going to get rejected. He was going to get wounded. He was going to get hurt beyond measure, and he was going to end up giving his life. And I would like you to consider the fact that I believe that his Father, our Father God, knew what his Son needed for inner strength to be able to keep on walking through horrible times and come out of it victoriously. This is my beloved son. I'm well pleased with him. Hear him. He heard this twice in public, maybe more often, but twice that we hear it recorded in scriptures. It was once at his baptism, once at the Mount of Transfiguration. And Peter mentions it the third time when he says, "We heard that awesome voice from the splendor of his glory, saying, 'This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him.'" You see, Peter recognized it, that this was so phenomenal that Father God would speak this about his son. Every one of our children need to hear this. That's what that handout's about. Go over that handout, please. Because here's the foundations. This is my son. That's belonging. This is my beloved son. That's love. I am well pleased with him. That's significance. I believe that God placed those three things in every single one of our lives to need them. And when we don't get them, we struggle. And our children will struggle if they don't get them. Fathers, dads, we can place this in our children's lives. We can give this to them. We can give it to our grandchildren. That's my heart. We can give it to others. We can give it to our brothers and sisters in church. Paul says, "Though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers." God wants men to be fathers and speak this kind of health into their lives. You know, we think about abuse, and we talked about the things that are abusive by their presence, but I'm just simply telling you, this is truth. When these are absent, it's also a type of trauma because there's a void there. Brené Brown, not a Christian that I know of, ran into some of her teaching. She's written some interesting information. But she says, and this comes from the world, she says, we are biologically, cognitively, physically, and spiritually wired to be loved and to belong. Something clicked in her. Because she was in the public arena, and she was going, something's missing. And she says, when these needs are not met, we break, we fall apart, we numb, we ache, we hurt others, and we get sick. And amen. That's what we see. I need, you need, to be loved and to belong. What if that was missing in your life? There's a void there. Here's what I would like you to hear. even if it was missing in your life, you say, I never experienced that. That's where we're going to revisit it down the road, sometime in December, when there's going to be a revisiting of the foundations. But what I would like you to hear right now is it doesn't matter if it was missing in your life, you can choose to give it to your children, even if you never got it. I watch parents who didn't get it give it to their children. I also watch parents who didn't get it not giving it to their children. I also watch parents who got it and still don't give it to their children. You got this. This is something we got to get. I belong, and I know and feel belonging. Our children need to hear. I look at my grandchildren, and I'm just going to give you some phrases so that maybe you can say I can come up with those kind of phrases. But I do this to my wife as well. Honey, I am so glad that I can be your husband. Do you know what that means? I'm so glad that you're my wife. I mean, she belongs to me. I don't say, you're my wife, you ought to do it. That's the wrong kind of belonging. Demanding sex instead of it being an expression of love. I am loved and feel loved. I tell my grandchildren, I just try and look for ways to tell them. I say, you know what? You know how much, do you know how much Papa loves you? I love you more than you can ever understand. And do you know something? You can never do anything that will make Papa stop loving you. Your children need to hear that. Your children shouldn't be able to do anything to make you quit loving them. I believe that God loves us with an unconditional love. Look at the prodigal son. The prodigal son took his dad's money, his part of his inheritance, and he shouldn't have even got it anyway. Dad was still living. He takes it, and what does he do with it? He runs to the city. He parties. He's full of immorality. What would you do? Would you quit loving your child when that happens? God didn't. I think he every day he looked down the road to see what as if his son was coming home. And when he did see him coming home, he ran to meet him. He didn't stand there with his hands on his hips and say, it's about time. Get out in the field. Maybe after you prove yourself, maybe you can be my son again. That's not what he said. Unconditional love. God never leaves us. He never forsakes us. We can walk away from God. And the prodigal did. And so the father said, this my son was dead, but now he's alive. He was lost, now he's found. He never quit loving him. Don't ever quit loving your children. And it's okay for you to tell them. You think you tell them that, they're going to be free to do whatever they want? No, you give them a foundation. I'll never quit loving you. I love you so much. I feel needed and important to the family. Hey, son, you really did an awesome job of that. Thanks. You really make the job lighter around here when you do that. Say it to your daughter, whatever. I know where the boundaries are and what is acceptable and not acceptable. We're going to look at that right now. But I believe when those four things are in place, love, belonging, and significance, and then discipline laid on top of it. If you lay discipline on top of something where the foundations aren't there, you're going to create damage. We'll look at that. But when you give your children those things, you don't have to be the perfect dad. You're not a perfect dad anyway. But if they have those foundations, they can live life. And I love that font because all those jiggy and jaggies, that's life. Life is going to be full of jiggies and jaggies. And Jesus could live life. He could walk through rejection. He could walk through hurt. He could walk through temptation. He could walk through pain. And so were your children. So were our children. If you give them the foundations of love, belonging, and significance, and then appropriate discipline. Let's look at discipline. Discipline's huge. On the opposite side that Frank put together, the page on discipline is there, but you don't have to look at it now. It's because we're not going to go over it, but I would encourage you, don't just not look at the handout. That handout is very helpful. God is a perfect blend of mercy and truth. Behold the goodness and the severity of God, Paul says in Romans. Parents need to model these qualities and behavior. Children need to learn that God is balanced by experiencing it from us as their authorities. I had breakfast with a man not too long ago, just a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. And I asked him a few questions because he was really struggling. I just asked him how things are going. And well, he I knew things weren't going well. That's why we were meeting. And he said, well, he says, just life's a mess. Nothing works. And I asked, what was it like growing up? He says, well, I said, I think I grew up in a normal home. I said, what was your relationship like with your dad? He says, we fought all the time. I said, he says, when he was home, he was hardly ever home. He worked all the time. I changed the subject. We talked about something else. I came back and said, tell me about your relationship with God. And it was totally quiet. I said, is God there for you? Oh, yeah, God's there for me. I said, do you feel like God is there for you? Oh, no, no. I said, oh, so he's not there for you? No. You see, he said he was. Up here, he knows that God is there for him. In here, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That's why we have to put the foundations in our children's heart, because then they will have the foundations of what it's like to be loved and to belong and to find and to have significance. Children need to learn it from their dads and other godly men, grandpas, bosses, church leaders. Okay, I said, what's dad like? What was dad? When I was talking to my dad, I said, what was dad like? Was he, was he kind? Oh, no, he wasn't kind. He was harsh, angry. So I said, is God kind? No, he's harsh. He's angry. Do you know what? You see what happened? Total pattern of what dad was like, it was how his perception of God was. Men, do you think you play an important role? We play an important role. God has asked us to be the foundations for all of life. Men, us, me, you. Discipline built on belonging, love, and significance. And that discipline needs to be a truth and mercy balanced discipline. God says, let truth and mercy never leave you. Bind them about your neck. And when those things are in place appropriately, now you have boundaries. And when the children are young, they're tighter. As they get older, there's more freedom. But there's still boundaries. You're still boundaries. There's going to be three patterns here that we're going to look at. Boundaries, firmly and lovingly placed, produce security and liberty. And it creates maturity. Your children can grow up to maturity. That's what those children were that we talked about just a few minutes ago. You see, God's holiness and God's love is truth and mercy. And when we have this in balance at home, our children can grasp a God of holiness. And they can see a God of love and God of mercy. But when we aren't doing that, our children have a warped concept of who God is. Isn't it interesting that when you have those, look what Hebrews says, you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. Who can finish that? What's he talking about? What's the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons? You see, that's belonging. What is it? Anybody know what's coming next? The Lord disciplines the one he loves. Did you know that it's discipline? It is discipline that makes your children feel like they belong. It is. It is. And you see, if you don't discipline your children, they don't feel loved. He chastens everyone he accepts as his sons. That's belonging. So right there you see belonging and love. And you find significance because you care enough to make sure they're going to listen. I belong when those things are in place. Do you discipline your neighbor children? You want to, don't you? But you don't because they don't belong to you. But if you don't discipline your children, they don't feel like they belong either. But if you discipline harshly, let's look at that. See, when you have truth and severity, and many of us were disciplined this way. I'm just telling you. Many of us were disciplined this way. When you have truth and severity, balanced discipline, and belonging and love and significance are not the foundationally, solidly in place, now you create walls and fences. Many of us were raised with walls and fences. And you know what that does? It creates anger and rebellion. Fences create the feeling of being controlled. They're not boundaries. They're fences. They're walls. And it creates anger. It's an overbalance of God's holiness. And some of us were raised that way. And you know what it screams to our children? It tells our children, I'm not loved. I see this over and over again. That's the second pattern. Here's the third one. And that is, if we're all love and there's mercy and goodness and we're overbalanced that way, well, then there's the children are unsure of their boundaries. There's a lack of respect for authority. Do you see that today? There's insecurity disguised as arrogance. There's a lack of self-discipline. There's irresponsibility. Do you ever try and hire people to work for you? That's what you're trying. You're trying to sort through all that, aren't you? Yes, you are. That's what we've been doing. And you know what? We have it awesome because we can choose people from an Anabaptist community that really do know how to work. But sometimes it's been overbalanced the other way. So now we have good working people, but they're still hurt and angry. But what this produces is children in adult bodies. And boy, do we have that. Okay, we have children in adult bodies. Oftentimes it's a reaction to overly strict parents. Then we have a tendency, since we were overly strict one place, now we don't want to be, and so we sort of let loose everywhere. There's got to be balanced, brothers. There has to be balance. You got to see it. And you say, maybe I was overly, my parents were overly strict. I need to have it balanced. And oftentimes I see this, parental insecurity. They want and they need their children's approval. Because they're insecure themselves, because these things are lacking. But this says, I'm not significant enough for them to care to discipline me. I my time's up. There's another story I'd love to tell you, but let's keep running. So, if I belong and know and feel belonging from my parents, I am loved and I feel loved, I feel needed and important to the family, I know where the boundaries are, we can build life on it. We can. So what do we do when these are missing? Well, we're going to look at that in December because we're going to come back to this. We're going to look at it because God wants to speak every single one of these things into your life. His word shows us where we can get love, belonging, and acceptance and significance. And we're going to look at that. Meanwhile, our challenge to you this morning is understand that this is what your children need from you, not your wife. Yeah, they need it from her too, but they predominantly need it from their dad. If dad can do this, if dad can provide these foundational things, your children can make it in life. You don't have to be the perfect dad. You aren't anyway. You won't be. But make sure that they know that they're loved unconditionally, that they belong, and that they have significance. Go over that handout, okay? There's a call-in number. I just put it up there because I didn't want to forget it. There's a call-in number that you can call in. If you know people out of the area, I contacted some people and let them know. So there's probably some men listening in this morning. Might even be some women listening in. Who knows? But anyway, that call-in number, if you want to give that to somebody, they can call in and they can listen to, encourage men wherever they are. Don't use it as an excuse to stay home, man. Okay, well, let's talk about small group. We really want to encourage you to become part of a small group. It's a vital part of learning is to practice the skills taught or to face the issues that come from the material presented. When you sit in a small group, you know, after when we're done, and I think Glenn will talk about this a little bit, but when we're through this morning, we're not going to have small group, but it's going to start next week. You'll have a number assigned to your name tag, and it'll tell you the small group you're in. Small group is important. It's vital. We really want to encourage you to be part of that, and so we just want to talk about small group a little bit. Where you go and you're going to interact with the material that's presented. What is not soon used and applied in relationships is soon lost. Confidentiality is a requirement. Men in small group, you need to be confidential. It leads when small group is confidential, it leads to people, you know, men being able to share his thoughts, but also the emotions that are attached to it. Men aren't good at that. You know, we don't like sharing our emotions. But in a small group that's secure and confidential, you know, you can share your hurt and you can say, brothers, hey, I'm struggling. Will you hold me up? Will you call me up? Okay. Confidentiality is a requirement. What is said in small groups stays in small group. Don't carry it home. Don't go tell your wives and anybody else. Okay? If it's something that's severe and there's needs help, you go to that brother and you say, hey, let's go find help. Let's find some help. But don't go. Yeah. We accuse our wives of gossip. We don't do a bad job of that either. We can do that too. Okay. Small group needs to be safe. The more you risk when group is safe, the more it benefits you. The group is drawn toward more depth and support. Small group needs to be safe. That goes hand in hand with confidentiality. Men have a hard time finding a place that's safe. We want small group to be safe. Okay. Preaching is for Sundays. If one person dominates the group time regularly, others' growth will be hindered. Now, listen, can you police yourselves? We're going to choose some small group leaders, and we're going to ask the small group leaders to just gently remind somebody if they're taking too much time. But men, think about it. Some of us have ratchet jaws, diarrhea of the mouth. Okay, just be a little careful with that. Okay, when you're in small group, you can learn as much from listening as you can from talking. Listen to others. Listen. Concentrate on what they're saying, not on your response. In every small group, almost always, you're going to have the talker and you're going to have the one who doesn't talk. Okay? Try and draw the one who's quiet out and try and put a zipper on your own lips sometimes. Doesn't mean you don't talk at all, but try, just be so conscious of not dominating the group. Men, that's part of being men. All share. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. Group strength is measured by each person contributing to it. That's what small group's all about. Care for and pray for one another. Okay. I forgot what it was. Yeah, I guess as we were traveling, I ran into some circumstances that just sort of blew me out of the water. And you know, almost always, as I thought about Encourage Men coming up, we had three more days we could have stayed at White Pine, Colorado, enjoyed the mountains, and it was awesome. But we came home to be at Encourage Men. So we're here, and we sacrificed 3 days to be here. hey, it was totally awesome. We have a friend who's a rancher, and he's a bishop in our church, rancher out in Colorado, and out in Kansas, and he took a Gator, four-wheel drive Gator, and four-wheel drive Polaris, and a two-wheel drive Honda, and Grace and I had the Honda, and we climbed all over the Rockies, and we had an awesome time. But also, we would sit in the cabin, and we would talk. You know, when church leaders get together, they are carrying burdens that they don't know what to do with, too. And it was so fascinating to know that time at White Pine became a safe place for church leaders, that we could share our hearts and cry and pray with each other and pray for each other. It was vital. It was our small group. I would encourage you to realize that men need men to call each other up. A woman cannot call you up to manhood. Only men and godly men and God himself can call you up. Let's be godly men. Let's just close in prayer here, and then I'll turn it over to Glenn. He has some things to talk about. Father, thank you. Thank you for calling us together as men. Would you help us to get rid of our excuses and pointing our fingers outward? Would you help us to look at truth, to want answers, to seek answers, to pursue truth, to embrace truth, and to practice truth? Father, you have called men to change our world. You called us to lead with your word. And you called us to lead people who don't necessarily want to be led. Would you give us the wisdom and the courage to be gentle, strong leaders, leading with the truth of your word? Would you grant us wisdom? You say if anyone lacks wisdom, we can come to you. Father, we're crying out to you corporately. And may all of us be asking you, Father, individually, that you would give us wisdom, the spirit of wisdom and understanding. so that we can lead our people and your people according to your plan and your will. Father, I pray a blessing on every man here. You know what some of them are struggling with. You know some of them are caught in sin. You know some of them are damaging their children and their families. Father, 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 would you call, put a call in their life that they can't reject? And may all of us respond to that call to be men. Men after your heart, walking humbly before you in truth and right. In Jesus' name.